Wolf, and Luke.
We could create a whole world in the mind of the listener simply by using sound effects.
Ron Wolfley. Luke Lipinski.
Huh.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Hour number two of the show, live from the Auction Community Studios. And we know, Wolf, that there will be changes with the Cardinals. There's going to be changes with pretty much every team this offseason. But we don't know exactly what they are yet and what they are going to choose to do. One of them might not even really be in their hands, though, because Vance Joseph seems like a pretty viable candidate for at least that Miami job right now.
I really think that Vance Joseph has the inside job because of the fact that he was there in 2016, that he was the defensive coordinator there. They know Vance Joseph, of course, and I think that really has given him the inside track. And I think also something happened with Brian Flores, ladies and gentlemen. We all know that. Something happened where it got personal between Brian Flores and somebody in that organization, and it apparently was the wrong somebody to actually get sideways with. But to me, Brian Flores was such a good coach. I was shocked, as were most people, when the Dolphins fired Brian Flores. But what's interesting about that, you're talking about a defensive-minded coach. Now, I think they want to bring in Vance Joseph because they like the way the team is constructed, and they felt like they were having success with a defensive-minded coach. What did they do down the stretch? 8-1?
Yeah, 8-1 after a horrible start. They, some of this I'm sure was Flores because of his familiarity with Belichick, but 3-0 in their last three games against the Patriots.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody looks at Miami and says, well, okay, they're loaded with offensive talent. They're loaded with offensive question marks. And yet, you know, we all laughed and RG3 was like, oh, but Brian Flores should be coach of the year. It's like, okay, Robert, they did lose 7 in a row in a 17-game season, so he can't be coach of the year. But that doesn't take away from how they did ultimately finish the season. And you're right, you probably, especially with Buffalo in your division, you probably got to go down the path of a strong defense. I'm just trying to see here because there's some reports out there that say that Vance Joseph does have the inside track, and there are others that say Stephen Ross likes him more as the backup plan. If they can't get somebody else, they don't say who that other person is. But either way, he's very much in the running. And so if he were to leave, and it seems pretty clear that he feels like Miami would be a good place to go if he gets that job. You know, remember back in the season, he's like, I'm not just going to go take any job because I probably won't get a third chance if the second one messes up. It seems like if Miami were to go with him, he would go with them. So that would leave the Cardinals, obviously, with a pretty big hole on the defensive side of the football, especially on a team where your head coach is Cliff Kingsbury. It's not like Cliff's going to throw a bunch of defensive knowledge out there.
Yeah, when you look at the Miami Dolphins, of course, and the season they had, it all starts with Tua Tagovailoa. And the fact that, is he your quarterback going forward, or is he not going to be your quarterback going forward? Mm-hmm. That is a big decision that has to be made within the organization. But their offense at certain points of the season, just horrible. There's no other way to describe
it.
It was absolutely horrible. Their defense was the strength. And again, I don't want to make it sound like it was lights out defense, but they were certainly respectable in the top half. And of course, I give a lot of the credit to Brian Flores for that. But maybe the way this team is constructed from a roster perspective, they're looking at it and saying, man, we should bring in another defensive-minded coach. Because typically, this is the opposite of how it works. You've got a defensive-minded coach, guess what? You're fired. Here comes the offensive-minded coach. You've got an offensive-minded coach, you're fired. Here comes it. It's many times, and believe me, based on it, I know nothing about dating. Okay, I know nothing about dating. I kid you not. If I gave you my dating life, you'd laugh hysterically. Okay? Two women I've been with
this feels like
in my life.
This should be a segment.
Two.
Wolf's dating advice.
I'm just saying right now, it's just so bad. But you know how it is. When you date somebody, you typically date somebody the exact opposite after you've been with this one person for a long time. I don't know. It just seems that way. I'm told that.
Well, here. So here's the monkey wrench, though. Seriously. It was working with Brian Flores. Seriously. So why wouldn't you stick with defense? That Seriously, would be like, hey, man. This was working, and then the person left.
Yeah.
Okay, you want the same person.
Right.
Although they ran him out, so I don't know how much further I can go with your analogy here.
Yes. The dating analogy blew up in my face right there.
I want
cracking myself up now.
Wolf's dating advice every Friday.
Yeah.
Right after hot takes. Just put that in the very next segment.
What a loser.
Just
think about this right here. I was 14 years old, basically. It's 14 years old when I started dating my first wife.
Okay.
14. High school sweetheart.
That's like freshman.
Only girl I was ever with, right? I'm just saying, yes, absolutely. Like 14 years old, and then all of a sudden I was divorced and still the bane of my existence when I think of it. And yet there I was out there walking in a very dark cloud, if you know what I mean. And I had no... I couldn't even talk to a woman.
Well, apparently
you know
you
what
can.
I mean?
Apparently
seriously,
you could.
I could not... Well... No, she talked to me.
Well, you knew how to respond. That's all that matters.
Where are we going with this right now?
So,
why do I feel like this is a purging? This is a new beautiful part of the program. Purging.
If that doesn't explain to everybody who the Cardinals are going to bring in as their new defensive coordinator, I don't know what does. No, okay, so set Miami aside for a second and whether or not they're going to go defense or offense, because that took us down a separate path.
That was like a confessional.
Specifically the Cardinals, I'm pretty sure they want to hire a defensive mind to be their next defensive coordinator if they need to. So you mentioned Mike Zimmer earlier in the show.
Zim.
So, I don't know. Give me a couple other names you like.
Let's see. Billy Davis. Billy Davis would be a guy that I totally would consider right now. And Billy Davis is a guy that knows the scheme.
That's consistency.
Knows
right there.
The terminology. I would totally trust Billy Davis to get another whack at being a defensive coordinator here for the Cardinals. Mike Zimmer's just a guy I absolutely love. He's an older gentleman as well, and because of that, I think he might have a more of a fatherly, if you will, impact on Cliff Kingsbury as well, and help him develop as a head coach and take that next step. Why are you looking at me?
Well, no, like because I have a thought. I don't know what to do.
You had a thought. That was your, man, I've got a thought look on my face right now.
I got to say this quickly before I lose
Ding.
It. Just walk with me down this path. If Vance Joseph gets the Dolphins head coaching job and the Cardinals have to hire a defensive coordinator, a new one.
Yeah.
Are you giving thought to bringing in a guy that could be your next head coach if you move on from Cliff a year from now? Or is that, I mean, I feel like you have to at least consider that.
I did. You do have to consider that.
So that was my thought.
I did consider it, and therefore burst your thought bubble.
Right there in front of everybody.
No, I just think, honestly, you can't try to make decisions for today based on what might happen tomorrow. I don't think it's necessarily awful, but if it's hindering your decision on filling a position today, I think you might have a problem with that.
Yeah.
It can mess you up.
I would agree. I'm not saying you hire a defensive coordinator based on, hey, this guy's going to be our coach next year, like a year from now. But I just wonder, I think it would say a lot about what they feel about Cliff internally if they hire some guy that's like, oh, okay, like if Brian Flores came in as your defensive coordinator, okay, well, this guy could be the head coach in a year. And you're not going to get him as your defensive coordinator, but just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, Vance Joseph doesn't even have the job yet, but if he does leave, that's a big chunk of your team, because I do think DC on the Cardinals is a little bit more than just coordinator, because Vance Joseph has always kind of been like the second head coach to me, like a step down, but like... The head coach assistant almost. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, be another home game for the 49ers in L.A. Is that possible? We'll take you through the biggest stories around the National Football League. Next, it's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Oh.
All right, well, if we get Rams 49ers for the third time here, what are you laughing at over
just
there?
This, whatever this is.
You just want to rock out for like 2 minutes?
Yeah, I don't know, man. No. This, honestly, what is this? And who is this? You know what? Don't answer that question.
All right, I won't answer that question.
Continue.
All right.
Proceed.
I feel like you're trying to incite our producer.
The white stripes.
Yeah.
The white stripes.
You know this.
Thank you.
This never goes well for you later on in the show.
I know that. Honestly, okay. Right now, it's brutal.
See?
I'll play Metallica next, Bert.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
There's a lot of similarities between the White Stripes and Metallica.
This right here in the tunnel would be mocked openly.
Well, I mean, it's not. That's more like driving to the game music. That's not necessarily tunnel time.
Well, I know, exactly. But what are we doing right now? We're broadcasting. Let's go.
Okay, well, here we go then. That Rams 49ers, it'll be the third meeting this season. It'll be the second in SoFi Stadium. If you remember, the Rams were shocked by the fact that there were so many 49ers fans at that L.A. game in Week 18. So there's a couple things with this game, Wolf. You've got a 49ers team. It's tough to beat the same team three times. I get that. And if you're telling me I got to pick, I'm probably picking the Rams. But San Francisco has beaten them six times in a row. That's not like a useless stat. The most recent six times, same divisions, that's all confined within the last 3 years, obviously. And when they beat them in Week 18, the Rams, like, the division was still on the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that was a situation where the Rams had something to play for. The 49ers were, it was basically a playoff game for them. And if you recall, there were a ton of fans, San Francisco fans, at SoFi Stadium. So the Rams had a ticket restriction set up for this NFC Championship game coming up on Sunday, where they were only selling tickets, at least via Ticketmaster, to those to people with an LA-based zip code. But they have since lifted it.
This is a great story right here. It really is. Because we know the 49ers, the last time they played, to your point, Luke, they invaded
they
SoFi.
They took over
SoFi Stadium right now. But I'm trying to figure out what exactly was the strategy to doing this. What was the strategy of the Rams? What were they trying to do? Was it something organizationally that they were trying to say, hey, listen, we're not gonna let that happen again? When, correct me if I'm wrong here, but wasn't it the same people, the LA fans, the people that live there that sold their tickets to the 49ers?
I mean, in LA of all places.
I mean, wasn't that Matthew Stafford's wife
that was
saying, don't sell your tickets to the 49ers?
That's what she was saying.
Isn't that what it was all about? So, okay, great. These people, aren't these the people that sold the tickets to the 49ers the first time around?
I'm going to go
ahead
and say,
why would you try to limit it this time?
There's probably a good, and that's probably why they stopped, is what you just said right there. They're probably like, this is not going to work, and it makes us look petty. So we're not winning on either side of this. I'm going to go ahead and assume there's probably a decent amount of 49ers fans that live in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is huge. Breaking news. And they didn't have an NFL team until a couple years ago. So I'm guessing there are probably enough 49ers fans there to just fill SoFi Stadium anyway. If 49ers fans want to go to that game, they're going to. And honestly, I don't typically get too caught up in what the crowd looks like, other than, you know, if it's at State Farm Stadium and Green Bay is coming or whatever. But this is the NFC Championship game, Wolf, and it's entirely possible the Rams don't have home field in this.
You know what? Honestly, right now, it's just how embarrassing would that be? Can you imagine that? You're playing a playoff game? Yes, exactly. But even a playoff game, let alone the NFC Championship game, you're playing a playoff game, and you're telling me that you don't have a home field advantage in terms of the crowd? Oh my goodness, how embarrassing does that get?
I would assume that they will at least be more prepared for it internally, or Matthew Stafford's wife won't be so freaked out over it. And Sean McVay, remember McVay kind of walked it back? He's like, was weird, but yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
you know, like he tried to like walk it back.
Well, he said, we were shocked.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, but then he was like, but we have the greatest fans in the world. And,
of course. Yeah. Wow, look.
They just weren't at the game.
Look, everybody, I'm backstroking.
But that could be something. I mean, the Rams are in a position where if they win on Sunday, they can just stay home and play in the Super Bowl at home because it's at SoFi Stadium. Maybe there'll be more Rams fans at that game. But San Francisco fans, I mean, now that it's a story, too, doesn't this make you, if you're a 49ers fan?
There's no doubt about it. If you weren't planning on going, now you are.
Yeah.
If you're from San Francisco.
You should be, yeah.
But if they did it once, won't they do it again?
Wouldn't they
do it again?
It's not like, that's why I was saying it's not like only the 49ers had something to play for in Week 18, and Rams fans are like, oh, it's, you know, it is what it is. Like, no, you were playing for the division.
Yes.
So Rams fans should have shown up if they were going to. So I'm guessing this is going to be pretty close to like 60-40.
It hits home right here, does it not, Basin audience? It hits home. This is one of the reasons why, again, I'm never going to tell you what to do with your money. I'm never going to tell you what you should do. It's your money. You buy the tickets, Basin audience, okay? But if you want to walk around and say, man, I'm part of the Red Sea, and I am a great fan of the Cardinals, why would you sell your tickets to somebody else? Why would you? When you know they're going to come in and they're going to wear the opposing team's colors.
Especially in the NFC Championship game.
I mean, if you're just a casual fan, I totally understand it. You buy tickets to take clients. You're going to go, let's go to the game.
Yeah.
Isn't this going to be great? Right, yeah. Okay, good. Make sure you do business with us next month. If that's what you're doing, I totally understand that. But if in fact you're talking about, man, I'm part of this fan base and I support this team 100%. Don't be selling your tickets. Walk around telling people you're the greatest fan in the history of mankind.
Here, I've got a headline for you as we switch topics here. Okay, I just want to get your reaction to the headline. Buccaneers Bruce Arians stands by final play call versus Rams.
Yeah.
Blames poor execution. Quote, some guys didn't blitz. Unquote.
Some guys didn't blitz. Levante David.
It's just such.
What exactly
such
are
a,
you doing?
A BA quote. Hey, Bruce. That was kind of a controversial call there to end your season, right? No, good call. Players didn't do it.
Yeah, you know, Todd Bowles. Right now, there were a lot of people that were, oh my goodness, the hue and cry that went up in regard to Todd Bowles going with Cover Zero, which is bring everybody. He was trying to win the game. He was trying to win the game, and I cannot tell you, Basinonians, how many games he won here while he was under BA doing that same thing to end a game. He did it over and over again when the Cardinals were rolling under Bruce Arians.
I'm rewatching it right now. So that's the Rams basically at their own 40 with about 25 seconds to go, and it ends up being, it was a 44-yard play. I mean, that was it, obviously.
Just huge. What you're banking on is actually getting to Matthew Stafford before he can make that throw.
And it's an interesting choice because if the Rams are like at your 40 and you're like, okay, if we get to him, we knock him out of field goal range, the risk maybe isn't as great. This obviously went as badly as it could have for Tampa Bay. But to your point, that's Todd Bowles.
Yes.
And Todd Bowles is Bruce's guy.
That's right.
You know he's going to sign off on that. But it's just that's such a Bruce Arians quote of, players didn't blitz.
Listen, Todd Bowles is known for that. That is something that he's known for, especially in end game scenarios, going after it. This is who Todd Bowles is, always has been. And it's one of the reasons why, again, if you execute, if you go about your business and do your job, Levante David, if you execute, it'll work. It's all about execution. I love the fact that Todd is a guy that will try to win the game in an end game scenario like that. He's trying to win the game. When you get cover zero, that's exactly it. Here's the play that could end the game. Now, it backfired. It blew up in his face. But I have no problem with a guy that will do that. None. You know what? It's funny because you think of Leslie Frazier, 13 seconds. 13 seconds. Now, I'm not saying they should have gone cover zero. I'm not saying
that would have been a touchdown
with 13 seconds left on the clock. But I will tell you right now, they got the ball on their own 25-yard line. The last thing you want to do, obviously, is give up a big play, which is one of the reasons why they were playing so loose. But they were 15 yards downfield.
Yeah, there's got to be a happy medium, you know, like the way you play the other 99% of the game, where you're just like, okay, if you're going to get, in the case of the Chiefs, if you're going to get the 30 yards on us, you're going to, It's hard for me to criticize Buffalo's defense because I don't think anybody was stopping Mahomes at that point. I don't know what defense you could have played to stop him. But to your point, it seemed like they were like, we'll give you some yards. Like, you can't give Tyreek Hill some yards because then he gets loose and you could just be screwed right there.
Yeah, you know, honestly, right now, maybe you should have gone cover zero on that last play. In retrospect, when you look at it, and the fact that Travis Kelce totally widened your corner and gave Patrick Mahomes the biggest window on a seam route you could possibly imagine, maybe you should have gone zero.
Yeah, or just put 11 guys on Kelce. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, could the Cardinals' most important free agent actually be flying under the radar? That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Once had a guy, Basinonians, come up to me and say, why do you like this stuff? I said, you haven't hit anybody in the last 5 years. Why don't you like this stuff? He didn't like that. Didn't go over very well, I'm just going to say. One of the many altercations that I got into as a player. Sorry. Bam!
I almost just made a Patrick Peterson joke, but I didn't. I let that go because I'm a take the high road kind of guy right here, Wolf.
Wow. That was big time for you.
Yeah. Once I had that thought bubble last hour, I was like, hey, this could be a whole new me on the air. You have to have the range. You got to be able to bounce around, hit Metallica occasionally, and then go all over the place.
Why do you like this stuff?
Was it a player? Can you at least tell us?
Yeah, it was a player.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you made it sound like, I mean, it could have been James Hetfield.
No, it was a dude in the locker room, as a matter of fact.
Oh, all right. Well, I haven't met a lot of athletes.
Why do you like this stuff? You know, dude, you haven't hit anybody in 5 years.
Maybe you should be listening to this stuff. All right, Wolf, there is a story on ESPN. I'm just checking one more stat. Okay, I've got it. There's a story on ESPN today that is going through the top NFL free agents for this upcoming offseason, ranking the best 50 players potentially on the market. Okay.
Okay.
So here, if you want, I'll give you the top five real quick. Jesse Bates, safety with Cincinnati. You got Chris Godwin's number four, the Buccaneers, obviously Mike Williams. That's nice. Number three.
Yes.
Terron Armstead, the tackle in New Orleans. Number one is Davante Adams, who that's an interesting topic. Cause I have to think if Aaron Rodgers leaves, Davante Adams probably like Jordan Love. Yeah, I didn't draft you. I'm out.
Davante Adams. Okay, Davante Adams isn't going anywhere. There's no way.
Why doesn't the team just empty their cap, sign Rodgers and Adams, and say, here we go?
Yeah, I don't know why exactly. Maybe it's because Aaron Rodgers is how old now, and how many times has he failed to actually win a Super Bowl? I'm just saying.
A lot, actually.
I love Aaron Rodgers. I respect him greatly, but I will tell you that I think he's kind of jumped the shark over the last couple of seasons again. I don't know what it is with Green Bay quarterbacks. Brett Favre did the same thing at the end of his career up there.
Yeah. Yeah, because there are years where it's like, okay, you have your opening here to win a Super Bowl. This is not Peyton Manning running into Tom Brady in his prime every year. This is like, Aaron, you just won MVP or you're going to win MVP, I would assume, for the second straight year. You can't score 14 points in your first playoff game. But either way, so I'm going down this list, and there's a couple Cardinals on it, okay?
Okay.
Number 16, Chandler Jones.
Chandler Jones. See, there it is right there. He's 32. He's going to be 32 years old next month. But there's Chandler Jones, number 16, because he can still get to the quarterback. Now, the question I would ask, okay, you've got him ranked number 16. Is that based on economics? Or is that just based on talent and production?
This is, I believe, just based on, it says their rankings are skewed towards players coming off their first contracts, but keeps in mind that some positions are much more valued on the open market than others.
Yes.
So take that for what it's worth. Now, Chandler's not even the guy I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
So go down the list a little bit. Number 39 is Christian Kirk. Okay.
Okay.
There you
Christian
go. Christian Kirk.
There you go. Top 50 free agent.
Yeah. He'll be 25 entering next season.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you go through all 50 names, Wolf, and the guy that you and I have both said is our top priority for the Cardinals to retain isn't even on the list. He's on the bonus free agent names to watch, where players are just have their names listed alphabetically. Outside the top 50 is James Conner.
Wow. Wow.
Could that be great news for the Cardinals?
I think that could be, because once again, hopefully, there's a lot of general managers that are out there saying, you know, we're not gonna pay James Conner. We're not gonna do that. And maybe you can actually get James Conner for around $8 million. Maybe you can get him for around $8 million a year.
For what, 2 years?
Yeah, maybe two, maybe three.
All right.
Maybe I'll go three there. He's only 26.
You said that with the tone of voice of somebody who's, it's not your money you're spending.
That's
like,
exactly.
Yeah, maybe I'll go 12. I don't care.
Hey, listen, you know what? Honestly, I think this is exactly the panacea the Arizona Cardinals need. This, they need him to impact the offense going forward, and I think Cliff Kingsbury and how Cliff Kingsbury runs that offense going forward, because I think James Conner changed the philosophy of Cliff Kingsbury. I think to some degree there was a paradigm shift that happened, and they need to continue that paradigm shift, if you ask me. And it was because that James Conner was 6'1", 232 pounds, and could run the ball in a very physical kind of way. That was cool. And everyone said, oh my goodness, that is great. Look at this guy truck people out there. But with Cliff Kingsbury, it was like, oh my goodness, look at him catch the ball coming out of the backfield. How many times did we see him? One-hand grabs.
Yeah, yeah, not just catches,
backfield.
Acrobatic catches.
So again, I think Cliff said, wait a minute, man, we can be both. We can go ahead and run this offense that I love so much and still be a very physical team with James Conner. And then he was a great leader inside the locker room as well. Yeah, I'm going to give him about $8 million a year, and hopefully a lot of other general managers that are out there feel the way this article felt in regard to the value of James Conner.
That was the stat I was trying to look up when we came back on the air. He 3.7 yards per carry this season. I knew that. That's 42nd in the NFL. So I do wonder if he has not. Okay, I got to make sure I phrase this right. You know, sometimes like you overvalue what's on your own team. Although everybody on our team is too good. Like back in the day when it was like, well, we can't trade with the Suns. It was like, we can't trade Josh Jackson for Kawhi because Josh Jackson's going to be the next Kawhi. Like, yeah, okay. But James Conner may have more value to the Cardinals than he would to a lot of teams, because the 3.7 yards per carry, I don't know that they really care so much about that. It's the 15 touchdowns, which was second in the NFL. And that might not mean as much to another team that's looking for a running back, but to the Cardinals, as we saw, it was exactly what they needed.
No, short yardage and goal line, man. That's what I think of right now. That's the reason why his average yards per carry is down. Short yardage and goal line.
Yeah.
How many times did they line up and boom, here comes James Conner on a 3rd and 1, and he converted or scored a touchdown? Often is the answer to that one right there. It's one of the reasons why that number is as low as it is. And that was the physicality, exactly the kind of physicality this team needed and needs going forward.
Now, the one thing I will say, looking at this list, there are no running backs in the top 50. So it kind of leads into what we were saying last week, where the list of running backs out there, we were looking at Pro Football Focus's top four. They had Cordarrelle Patterson 1, Leonard Fournette 2, Connor 3, and Chase Edmonds 4. So I'm looking at this list of the top 50 receivers, or not receivers, free agents out there on ESPN.com. There are no running backs. In the honorable mention, there's James Connor and there's Leonard Fournette. So I don't know that there's going to be a rush, and Patterson's out there too, a rush on James Connor individually, but if teams need running backs, just remember there aren't a whole lot out there right now. Stuff can change. Teams can move on from guys, but
you got 8 running backs in the National Football League that are making 8 figures. You got 8. Do you care to hear them?
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara. Christian McCaffrey's making 16. He's the highest paid on average. Alvin Kamara, of course. Ezekiel Elliott is number 3 at $15 million. Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry at 12.5.
Okay.
Nick Chubb at 12.2. Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon at $12 million. And then from $12 million, it goes to Melvin Gordon at 8. That sounds about right. Right there to me, James Conner. And it's one of the reasons why, again, what are you willing to play for, James? Do you want to be paid like you were an every down back? And then you are going to be used as an every down back. Of course, many people would say, yeah, that's what he's going to say. But James Conner, I can tell you right now, this guy is cut differently. He really is. He knows that he's going to have to share that position, maybe for the longevity of his career, share that position right now. He might actually give you a bit of a discount.
Yeah, and most of those running backs you just read in the eight-figure range are probably the only, like, true running backs that are, like, the guy on their team. I mean, I guess Chubb has Kareem Hunt a little bit, but, like, Derrick Henry, who else do you say? Dalvin Cook. Christian McCaffrey, when he plays, is the only guy, really. I don't think Pollard
does play in Dallas as well from time to
time. Yeah, that's true. Zeke, yeah. So I wouldn't say all eight of those guys do it, but I would say the only guys that are like the true first, second, third down back are in that list of eight guys because there just aren't very many left. I don't know that James Conner can expect eight figures.
You got Aaron Jones right there. Aaron Jones, of course, he shares the position with A.J. Dillon.
But Dillon wasn't as big of a deal probably when he signed that deal.
No, you're right about that, but it doesn't change the fact that they use a two-back tandem.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. All I know is this. If I am Steve Keim, I wanted to get more physical, and I wanted better leadership inside the locker room. I got a guy that I brought in James Conner, and gave him basically a minimum contract on a one-year deal. He came in here and he changed this team, the philosophy of this team, the coach of this team. He's worth a lot.
Coming up next, we're going to go through the biggest stories of the day, wolfing down your lunch a little bit early with Aaron Maloney. That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Man, does this smell good.
Wolfing down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolf and Luke.
Hey, boys.
All right, a little bit early today because we got a guest coming up at noon. It's time for Wolfing Down Your Lunch. All of today's top stories in one place with Aaron Maloney. Aaron?
The Phoenix Suns announced this morning that they have extended the contract of general manager James Jones. In a statement, managing partner Robert Sarver said, quote, "We're fortunate to have a great basketball mind leading this team. James not only has tremendous instinct for identifying talent, but he has an innate ability to compose a roster that is deep with complementary players who make each other better on and off the court," unquote. Your reaction to the news?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was, I'm not going to say it was overdue, but it makes...
It's very well deserved.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. It's very well deserved. It makes a ton of sense, and it's nice to just, this doesn't have to be difficult. Don't make it difficult.
Yeah, you know what? Robert Sarver is talking about culture with James Jones and what James Jones has done, along with Monty Williams, and along with Chris Paul, and along with Devin Booker. You can never forget this. The pieces have got to fit as well. And James Jones has put together this Phoenix Suns puzzle, and it is a thing of beauty. Very happy for James Jones because here's a guy that is an NBA executive who still thinks like a player.
Arizona Sports, breaking news.
So, nothing with Arizona, but this is big and I'm shocked. According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, Sean Payton has informed the Saints that he's stepping away.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Whoa. Whoa.
Your
whoa,
reaction, guys?
Whoa. Now we know why nobody has hired anybody.
Do you think that's what it is?
I'm telling you right now, the grapevine is vast and varied in the National Football League. And somebody whispered to somebody else in the grapevine, Peyton wants out. He doesn't want to be here in New Orleans anymore. And every other organization that has an open vacancy went, what?
Do you remember that footnote in that story we saw last week, though, that it was like Sean Payton might want to go to TV someday? And then they even said Sean McVay, like in a few years, might want to go to TV. I mean, I can't imagine Sean Payton is leaving right now to go to TV. But
I guess what I'm saying right now, if I'm an owner for another organization,
you're trying to talk to
me. I'm going to wait. I'm going to find out how he feels about that, Luke.
Yeah, that is crazy. So
wow.
I guess.
Wow. You know what? Wow, all the pieces are falling into place.
He's got to be one of like the two or three longest tenured coaches in the NFL, right, with his current team?
Yes. Sean Payton is, without a doubt, an excellent, excellent coach. Familiarity breeds contempt, does it not, ladies and gentlemen?
I just thought it was considerate of them to put the breaking news right in the middle of wolfing down your lunch. That's...
Wow!
I won't forget that,
but
Sean.
It makes sense now. It really does.
So then what do you think the chances are that he's retiring and just stepping away from the game? Or do you think he'll coach a different team next season? And if so, which team?
Okay. It's a great question to ask. It really is, Mel. We know no details right now. Is it a shock to everybody? Would you say you're shocked?
I'm shocked,
but Sean Payton is stepping down.
Have been rumblings he might want to just take a break and do TV. Yes, I'm shocked it happened.
I know that there have been rumblings out there, but that's
there's always rumblings. Yes.
Always rumblings out there. Shocked that he actually did it?
But to answer yes. Aaron's question, I'm saying I don't know that he's necessarily going to coach a team this year.
But it certainly makes sense if you are a team that has a head coach opening that you are going to wait and see if he had any interest in you.
So
right?
maybe Miami wants, maybe Stephen Ross wants Sean Payton, and that maybe is a long shot. And if he can't get Sean Payton, he'll go with Vance Joseph.
Can
maybe
you imagine
that's what we're
how
hearing.
Much money Sean Payton would get from somebody else?
$1 billion.
You think Gruden was big? Step down, John.
Payton's actually won stuff.
So, other coaching news. According to a couple different sites, Vance Joseph is favored to become the next coach of the Dolphins. Now, we'll see if that changes at all with Sean Payton. But if Vance does indeed leave for Miami, who would you like to see be the Cardinals' next DC? Sean Payton. No, just kidding.
Man, I'll tell you right now. If you're not going to go outside the organization, Billy Davis is the man for the job. If you are going to go outside of the organization, Mike Zimmer.
What do you think of a guy like Brenston Buckner?
I love Buck. Absolutely love Buck. Don't know how much, though, that has he had any defensive coordinator experience? That's the question.
Well, he was getting a lot of interviews for college.
I don't have that in front of me right now, and I don't think now is the time where you want somebody cutting their teeth, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's – I know this sounds like a cop-out answer, but I think you don't want somebody – new. I like the idea of consistency, but I would want to know how they feel internally about Bill Davis stepping in being a defensive coordinator. So at that position, considering who your head coach is, I wouldn't mind going outside the organization and getting a bigger name. Not doing it with the thought of, hey, this guy can be the head coach in a year if Cliff falters, because I don't want to tie myself to anybody a year ahead of time. But just knowing that I feel like defensive coordinator on the Cardinals is a little bit more, there's more responsibility because Cliff is so closed off from the defense.
So according to Nick Underhill, he is a Saints reporter, it actually says Sean Payton is retiring.
Oh my wow. goodness.
Yeah.
So wow.
As more information comes out, we will keep you updated.
Is that like Urban Meyer retiring for like a week, or is that like a real retirement?
Is it like Brett Favre retiring?
Yeah, he's already got a new job.
All right, Sean Payton, he's 58 years old, and you're saying he's retiring.
For now.
Somebody
smell a
rat.
Maybe he wants to join Drew Brees on NBC, you know?
Oh, New Orleans reunion.
Somebody smell a rat.
You don't buy it. Wow.
No, yeah. I don't buy it.
As the Cardinals sit at home, they get to watch their division rivals go head-to-head in the NFC Championship game, with the winner punching their ticket to the Super Bowl. Cards owner Michael Bidwell spoke to the Arizona Republic yesterday, and although he didn't divulge too many details, he did say, quote, "He's had a lot of internal discussions that I think have been productive and will improve the team," unquote. What do you think those internal discussions have been like?
Well,
I honestly don't know what to say about it because I haven't heard anything on it right now. But I would imagine if I were in that room, I'd be yelling.
Yeah, I mean, that's my
right
first
now.
Thought. Is like, I assume they
I'd
were probably
yelling,
pretty tense. That's
just me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying it's right, but 2 years in a row right now. Yeah, 2-5 down the stretch and 4-7 down the stretch. Just not a good combination. I would want answers. And depending on some of the answers that I did receive, maybe I would be elevating my voice, especially when you're talking about the game of football.
Well, because I mean, that question that Aaron just asked really is the million-dollar question. Like, if they have the answer for how to fix this, they should have done it this year because it already happened to them a year ago. So I tend to agree that they're probably... What?
One's a point.
Yeah.
Two's a trend.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, three is a pattern. They're at the trend point of it right now. One, you just didn't know it was going to happen.
No, yeah, but if you had the answers last year, if you're like, hey, what happened at the end of the season? Oh, yeah, this and this. They would have fixed it this year. So the fact that they also couldn't fix it, and now, like you're saying, it's a trend, I have to think it probably got pretty heated because there's no clear answer.
And then our last one. A notice on Ticketmaster informed users that only those with a Los Angeles-based zip code could purchase tickets to SoFi Stadium for the NFC Championship game, seemingly as a reaction to the heavy presence of San Francisco fans when the two teams met up in L.A. for Week 18. I believe that's when Kelly Stafford threw a soft pretzel at someone.
It was a moment of weakness.
Yeah. A day later, that notice has been removed, opening the doors for fans of the 49ers to once again get into the game. What are your thoughts on this?
It kind of makes me want to...
Are the Rams like that soft where they can't just have their fans buy tickets? They need to make sure that the 49ers can't buy them.
It's not
because there's
look.
Not any 49ers fans living just kind of down the state a little bit.
No, no. It sort of makes me want to go buy 49ers gear and go to the Rams-Niners game. Except I can't really stand the 49ers, so I'm not going to.
Yeah. I just, was I not mistaken, though? Because didn't Matthew Stafford's wife point out the fact that people were selling, Rams fans were selling their tickets to 49ers
fans? I think she assumed that's what it was, but yeah.
Well,
I'm not saying it was or wasn't.
I'm just saying.
She's throwing pretzels around. It's hard to tell.
SoFi pretzel. honestly, right now, yeah, what's going to keep them from doing it again?
Apparently nothing.
So you're going to go ahead and say, well, it's only going to be people with L.A. zip codes. Well, that was the problem the first time around.
I would assume that Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford are working on the silent count this week, just in case they need to use it at home. Just in case.
That is what a bummer that's got to be, that portion of practice.
I have to think this story only adds more 49ers fans to the game. All right, that was Wolfing Down Your Lunch. Thank you very much, Aaron. When we come back, just how fun is it to watch the Phoenix Suns? And is the national media beginning to recognize just how special this team is? We're going to talk to ESPN's Jay Williams about it next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.